What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode today. Yesterday, I was a little fired up on the podcast, rightfully so. Getting blown out by a division rival 30-0 is never fun for anybody. I've kind of accepted the fact that it'll be Salah and Douglas next year, but if it's not, it's hard to really get that angry about it based on the production this year and, you know, the last couple years and the records and things of that nature. Brad, you're in your weekly spot. This is probably as perfectly timed as it gets based on having offseason conversations. And you do a lot more in the offseason stuff, but when it comes to the offseason, nobody better. How we doing? Sorry, you know, Darnell Mooney can't catch. That was just brutal.
That was the funny thing is that was probably the third or fourth worst drop by a Bears receiver on the day, which, you know, I guess Jets fans are familiar with.
Cole Kmet
well.
Had one. I think Cole Kmet had
no,
one.
It was Robert Tonyan, who should have been cut, being mean now. But, I mean, that was the most egregious drop
Packers
I've ever
legend.
Seen in my entire life.
Packers yeah, legend. I mean, it
was, Packers legend. Yeah, he's actually from Chicago area, and I guess he's a double agent. I don't know. He shaved the hair, and it was for, you know, a good cause. It was for Locks of Love or whatever, but I think he shaved the hair, and he also lost his talent, unfortunately, at the same time. So, anyway, it happens. It happens. No, I'm good. But yeah, I mean, look, we're optimistic, I think, but I do think we're realistic about the Jets. I mean, I'm not a fan, so I have no reason to be like overly bubbly. That was a depressing performance. We obviously still could have lost the game, but to get just blown out like that without Tyreek Hill, well, it was tough.
Tough game. I just think this happens often, but I feel like a lot of the reaction after the game and the anger, especially towards Salah, towards this roster, you know, as usual, it's always pointed towards Robert Salah, not Joe Douglas. As I think a lot of pent-up frustration, I think the game as a whole was bad. And I think in a vacuum, the 16-32 as a head coach, you know, here with the Jets is not good enough objectively. No one's saying it is. I think 25-55 entering Matt Millen territory is even more egregious just because – the conversation we talked about at a bunch of whose fault, who's more at fault, the Jets missed quarterback, like point blank. And I know it's not just about quarterback, but they missed on quarterback and everyone else has been screwed from it. That's why they went out and got Rodgers. Problem was, guess what? Aaron Rodgers didn't play this year. And so you had the same rosters last year. So the same results happen. Really good defense. Fun, exciting skill players. The offensive line struggles because the quarterback doesn't move protections well. The offensive line doesn't communicate well. Everything's a problem. And it's not all the quarterback. The offensive line performance Sunday was one of the first times. I know they've not been good this year. I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying they have been. But that was just as bad as it gets. And it sucks. I know you were just talking, you're doing your top 100 free agents list. I felt like Mekhi Becton was having a decent year to start the year. Since the sprained ankle specifically, it's been like, he doesn't run block well. He doesn't pass block well. I don't know what's going on, but the offensive line was a disaster on Sunday. Like, it's not on Zach Wilson. It's not on Trevor Siemian. Like, unfortunately, those guys are who they are. Nate Hackett is who he is. The offensive line not blocking does not help anybody.
It's also, look, the major injuries happen. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I guess you could say, like, part of it is the being overweight, whatever. But minor injuries at offensive line, like, that's part of the game. That's like, yeah, you can say, yes, he's not playing up to the same level because he's hurt. Sure. Dwayne Brown is 40 years old. He's probably played through ankle sprains 100 times in his career. You know, it was, again, like a decade ago when he was a similar age to Mekhi. But so it's like the excuse isn't really there. The interior, I thought Lakin and Tippmann both took steps back after I thought they were kind of gaining some momentum and playing better football. And here's my thing is, I think Miami has, let's say just the main four guys, four very good players in, you know, Chubb, Van Ginkle, Sealer, Christian Wilkins. I don't think any of those guys are great. They're all very good. I wouldn't say any of them are great. And they made all of them look spectacular. Like, you know, Wilkins is a very good player, arguably great, but not a great pass rusher.
Annoying, but good.
Yeah. Like Bradley Chubb's a, you know, a good player, but like made him look like an all pro. And even Van Ginkle is like a rotational guy that just kind of feasted throughout the game. So yeah, I mean, it was a step back because I think that we try to find positives and reasons for optimism. And I feel like, you know, we've kind of given Lakin a hard time when it was deserved. And then he's kind of bounced back and Tippmann, there was growth and they just all just did not come to play. That's the thing too, is like, And I guess it maybe it changes as the game goes on, but I'm watching the game like 14-0, whatever it was. I'm like, these guys are already out of this thing. Like, this thing is
it's
over.
Yeah, look, DJ, yeah. I think I talked about it a little bit. I don't have a problem with DJ Reed or Garrett Wilson's comments. I don't have a problem with Alan Lazard's comments, mostly from a I don't know how to phrase this. I'm not going to beat up on Lazard because it's an easy target. He is who he is. He's had a really disappointing year. He's been hurt all year. He's not played well. His you know, new environment, everything's gone bad for him. Like, it's the classic, as crazy as his take is, and I'm sure people will kill me for it, if he had a really nice bounce back year next year where he catches 45 balls for 600 yards and 8 touchdowns, wouldn't be shocked at all. And everyone going, oh, wow, keep him for the third year. Why wouldn't you? There's a world in which he's egregiously horrible as well. I'm just saying, like, he's not this type bad of a player. He's never been this huge drop rate guy. He's never been a guy that, like, isn't good in the red zone, good in contesting catch. He's been terrible this year. He'd tell you, Robert Saleh told you, everyone agrees. Out-efforted, out-executed, DJ Reed saying the second Zach Wilson fumbled, everyone kind of was like, yep, it's over. We've seen that a couple of times this year. And then the second the offense scores, the defense like snaps out. The Chiefs game, perfect example. Kind of a similar thing where, like, early on, offense looked like dog shit. The defense basically just mailed it in for the first, egregious holding penalty, and then no one got called. And obviously that's not the holding we called talk about from that game. But 17-0 early, and then the Jets get the safety, and all of a sudden the offense goes down and scores, and the defense is like, oh, wow, we're locked in. We're ready to rumble. The most egregious part of Sunday, and I want to talk about the offseason. I don't really want to talk about Sunday that much more. The Jets beat the shit out of the Miami Dolphins offensive line. And generally speaking, across the board, like, played really well on defense. Quincy Williams was really good. CJ Mosley was fantastic. They got another solid Solomon Thomas game again. Bryce Huff had another sack. Quinton Williams was amazing. The difference was, and I talked to a couple offensive people that, you know, primary cover offensive line. I said, like, what happened? And they're like, Miami's offensive line was just as bad as the Jets, or almost as bad. The difference was the scheme. Tua got the ball out immediately. He was better at changing protections when needed. He did a better job of getting the ball out of his hands, and his playmakers made plays. The Jets didn't get the ball out of their hands quickly. They ran the same formations over and over. It's like, this was a really bad Hackett quarterback offensive line game all mixed in a one. And again, I know people are going to defend Zach. I'm not saying he was the only problem. But, like, quarterbacks do align protections and do get the ball out of their hands. The fumble was really bad. I don't care what anyone says. Anyone that watches football or covers football knows, like, you have to just take a sack there. You're inside your own 10-yard line. You cannot do that. Nick Mullins got ripped for 24 hours straight for doing the same thing, and he did it in the red zone where it didn't really kill you as much. Again, I don't know if – I know we obviously are talking about that. Is my Lazard take crazy, by the way? Like, if you just told me he's fine next year, like a solid wide receiver three, like, I don't think that's crazy.
No, and like, he also is a specific skill set, right? You're not going out and finding guys that can be legit, like, displacing ends and like, moving bodies in the run game. It's not, like, as a wide receiver, I mean, basically as like a pseudo tight end. Like, no, that's kind of the nature of, you know, you go out in free agency, he's a mid to lower mid-tier player. Obviously, you want better than this year. But you're not all wrong about the quarterback thing too. Like, it sounds overly simplistic. And again, for fans of like Jets or Bears or whatever, where it's like, is it really that simple? Like, to a degree, yes. Like, the Texans roster isn't good. Like, but you drop in CJ Stroud and here we are. Like, it sometimes is that simple. Running a similar defense, they have nowhere near the talent the Jets do on defense at all. But yeah, it was a scheme game. I mean, that's the thing. And again, it doesn't have to be one type of scheme. Like, Shane Steichen's not doing what these guys are doing with the wide zone and the Shanahan tree. Frankly, McVay is not doing that anymore either. He's running a gap heavy scheme and sitting in shotgun and doing it different. But it's just protecting your players and knowing how to work around the players in the field. And you just did not see that in this game.
Let's have the bigger conversation in the offseason now. The rest of this pod will just be offseason talk. Obviously, they're eliminated from the playoffs. You know, we'll talk, I guess, at the end about what you're looking for the last three games. I think it's what we've talked about before. Seeing some of the young players have really nice impacts. Some of the guys in contract years have nice impacts. Things like that. That's really it. Do you think Douglas and Saleh are back? Is there any world in which they're not? And what, like, I know we've talked this before, but, like, it just feels like it's such a – like, do you have any confidence going in next year if they're back that they can figure this thing out with a top – potentially top five pick and a bunch of cap space, which we're going to talk about in a moment?
Yeah, I do. I mean, maybe, I mean, I guess you can't move on from a Hackett. And again, Rodgers can just fix so many of these issues that we'll, you know, go back to thinking Hackett's like a genius. You know, and there is some good. Like, I do like him in condensed, you know, areas of the field, red zone, you know, certain moments. I don't know how, if I like how he deploys personnel. Like, that I have more of an issue with than maybe even the play calling and designing itself, which are kind of isolated things. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I do. I still believe in Saleh. And I mean, look, Douglas can hit on first round picks. We know that at least. So get Elijah Vera Tucker healthy, figure out the tackle situation, drop in. I mean, they might go, you know, Alt or Fashanu over a receiver with that first rounder. I don't think you can really be mad either way. They also need a receiver. There's no doubt about that. But you could see Rodgers or even just the front office saying, let's just get a blue chip tackle and kind of figure the rest out later. Yeah, I do. I still have faith they can figure this thing out.
Yeah, I think the changes we see are going to be smaller. I don't think they're going to be the scalp that every Jets fan is looking for. I think it'll be a lot of similarities. I know people hate when I use baseball references. It feels like it'll be a very Yankees, like, you're not going to get Cashman and Boone gone. Like, they should be, but you're not going to. You're going to get Dylan Lawson, the hitting coach. You're going to get different farm directors. You're going to get, you know, AAA pitching coaches. Similar thing. I think you'll see a majority of this offensive positional coach is gone. I think Keith Carter has objectively been the worst hire in, like, probably the worst hire across the NFL in terms of position groups that matter. The Jets took a guy that was not well-liked in Tennessee, brought him in to be the offensive line coach, and everyone's regressed. Like, everyone's like, Lankin was playing better, but everybody theoretically has just regressed, and that's a huge problem. Mike Munchak wants to coach again, and I'm not sure there's many better people in the NFL, maybe Bill Callahan, than no offensive line like Mike Munchak. Go pay him whatever it takes. Go into Philly and say, we're not going to take your number one. We'll take your number two. You'll get a promotion. If this works well, you'll end up being getting a promotion there. Do you think we see any other changes? Maybe they see one or two shakeups in the front office in terms of, you know, Joe Douglas is like second and third hand guys. I just don't think we're going to see what people are looking for. I think it's going to be a running back coach, an O-line coach, a Taylor Embry. I think it's a Keith Carter. I think it's maybe as far as to say, you know, I don't know if they, you know, it's a Rex or somebody else like that in the front office, but it's something like that, right? Like, that's what it feels like it's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't even mention Todd Downing too, who.
Yeah, Todd Downing as well.
Yeah. Like, I honestly think if there's any scripted play success, like, I do think he's decent on script. We saw that in Tennessee for a couple of years, although maybe that was just, you know, other parts of the coaching staff. But, like, in particular, the pass game coordinator, which is what he is right now. Like I just said, I don't really like how things are deployed. The spacing at times in the pass game, I think, is a little bit clunky. Could that be guys running wrong routes or guys maybe having, you know, responding to coverage certain ways, they're supposed to run different routes based on what they see in coverage, and they're doing the wrong thing. Like, I don't know, but I certainly haven't been wowed by the, you know, the route combos of the Jets. So yeah, I could see that. I could see, you know, that's kind of the last thing you do before it's like, all right, we're going to keep you guys. Your seat is going to be hot coming into the year, and you know that. And yeah, we're going to get the senior personnel advisor, the guy that comes in that's like, hey, you might be an interim coach in week 12, or even if not, you're just going to kind of like report to the owner and tell us how things are going, like that type of shit. That's what teams do in these scenarios. So yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, like, you look at Buffalo, right? They just, McDermott couldn't fire, they fired Leslie Frazier. People wanted him gone. He fires the defensive coordinator. I still think Hackett's not going to be the play caller next year. I think you're going to see, I know it's not going to happen, but God, a John Gruden, Aaron Rodgers quarterback room would be amazing. Not just because, first of all, people think I'm joking. John Gruden is probably one of the five smartest football offensive coaches in the world right now. And this is his scheme. I know we give Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, like, Gruden's been running this thing since Green Bay in the mid-90s with Favre. I know he's not going to get the job, and we all know why. I'm not, like, listen, I get it. I'm not advocating for anything he did, although the Goodell stuff is still objectively funny. But Gruden, like, generally speaking, like, that type of person, maybe it's a Jay Gruden. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody that knows this system, knows Rodgers well, and can come in and be like, dude, like, Hackett could be your best friend. I'll be the asshole in the room, but we need to have a little bit of a balance of, like, I still need one of the coach that's calling the plays in here. We need somebody with a little bit of, like, authoritative kind of figure, and then Hackett can be the more – what he kind of was more in Green Bay, like, the fun – he's kind of like the fun drunk uncle that, like – is actually pretty smart when you, like, let him just kind of go off. But, like, whatever. I don't know. I'm just like saying like that's kind of what you're going to see maybe. And again, like position coach wise, spend whatever you need to spend on an offensive line coach that could come in. Because if you're going to draft one of these two tackles, someone's going to need to develop them. And I don't know that you feel like you're in a good spot now. I think you've talked about this a lot. I tend to agree. Like, let's just like, we'll lay out the offseason stuff for the last part of the segment, because this is offseason stuff, but more roster control. I think they have three guys that'll be starters on the offensive line next year here, which I think it'll be Tippmann, Lincoln. I think Tomlinson, you'll restructure. I think you free up about $7 to $8 million in cap space if you restructure him. And I think obviously AVT's back. I'm inclined to say they go AVT right guard. I still almost think if you got Tippmann right guard, AVT right tackle, Lincoln left guard, and you got a new center and a new left tackle in here, it's probably your highest ceiling. Is that crazy? Like, I know Tippmann's done a nice job, and Jets fans want him to be Nick Mangold and Kevin White. I get it. Maybe he is. But he's also 6'4", 315 pounds, and, like, AVT and him on the right side as a combination – feels like you can find a center in the fourth or fifth round. I guess you can find a guard as well. The Jets have never done that, so I don't know why I'm even suggesting that idea. But is that crazy to think they need at least two offensive line starters, and we'll start there?
I think that is probably what I would do. Like, obviously, ABT is great at right guard, but I he's also great at tackle, and particularly right. And that run game on the right side would be ridiculous. Like, especially with a year of growth for Tippmann and get back to health for AVT. There's no question about it. Yeah. And then you get a center and a left tackle. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I think there are late round options at center, in this particular draft class. I don't think you're taking one early, but I think there are a bunch from round 3 to 6, round 3 to 5 that could probably be good fits. Everyone in college now is undersized and good fits in this type of scheme. So yeah, and then maybe you do take, an altar for Shanu in the first round, and just get that out of the way and just say, like, let's just do it, have a blue chipper, spend in, for a receiver, or trade for Devontae Adams, or address that in a different way. But no, I agree. They're not that far. It's again, just like with the offense, like the O-line, it can be a weak link thing at times where everyone kind of plays poorly because you have a couple injuries, and then it's like, all right, we have like Carter Warren or Max Mitchell, or, McGovern's not playing well. Like, and there's just kind of this trickle down effect of then the whole unit looks like they don't even know what they're doing. And it's like, no, that's because like there's a weak link, and it's kind of just bringing the whole thing down. So, a long answer short, I agree with you. Got to save some money with a guy like Lincoln Tomlinson. No question about that. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also the free agency class of centers is a little bit more enticing than, I know you're working on that article. There's at least some like names there that aren't in their mid-30s. I know Kelsey's obviously not going anywhere, but like, it sucks for Connor Williams because he's probably gonna get paid a shit ton of money, and I wonder how much the ACL affects him. Let's move to receiver. Let's back up. Hold on. We'll go to receiver in a second. We've talked about this before, but like, what is the Jets' ability to retain their in-house free agents? They do have quite a few. I think a lot of them are going to let walk. It's a lot of veterans that are either going to walk or be on even smaller deals next year. The two things, there's a couple names that come to mind that need to be to addressed. They have to address both, like the three special teams guys. I know no one's paying attention to. They have to bring all three. Like, there's no world in which you cannot bring back Morstead, Hardy, and Zerline. They're three of their 10 most productive players on a weekly basis. So that's just one of those things where, like, if you want to go into next year, you still want to be an elite defense, elite special teams unit. If you have Rodgers, like, you're going to need these guys. So that's one. Huff is obviously, and Huff and Becton are the other two, right? They're the big names that are the free agents that are not old. I think there's little to no chance Becton's back. And if he is, it's like someone suggested it's like, you're getting a swing tackle level contract on a 1-year prove it deal. Huff, we've gone back and forth. Where is he going to, where is he going to net out?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I just think to let a guy in his entering his prime as a pass rusher at ages like 26 through 30 is like your prime. It's not 22 through 25. Like, that's not how edge rushers work. He's likely going to break double-digit sacks this year. He's going to break 60, 70 pressures. I know maybe it's a scheme thing. I know there's all these different things. Obviously, Quentin Jefferson, by the way, and Solomon Thomas, other guys, but they're more reserve players. I think Jefferson's probably played his way out of New York. From a good perspective, I think maybe he'll get a little too much money. Thomas will be back. He is what he is. Why do the Jets have to, like, trade Bryce Huff or, like, let him walk? Like, I don't understand why you – they have more than enough cap space with restructures and cuts to address offense more than enough. And also re-sign Bryce. Am I crazy? Like, I don't understand why, like, you need to get rid of good players to get other good players in here.
No, I don't, because also it's like, yeah, you probably had some money in your mind earmarked for a Mekhi Becton, maybe a, you know, a Whitehead that I think you probably just so hopefully Chuck Clark gets healthy, you bring him back on a 1 year like that min type of deal. I'm with you across the board. Like, Al Woods gets hurt, like, you know, very old player, but always gets a decent chunk because he's very good at what he does. Like, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, Dalvin Cook, obviously you're not bringing him back in any way, shape, or form. Carl Lawson, you restructured the deal for a reason, thinking, you know, maybe he has a good year and we figure things out going forward again. He's obviously not going to be there. So, yeah, no, you and I have been perplexed. I don't understand why they didn't make a bigger effort on Huff, because, we talked about it. I put out my projection, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but that's based on historical comps and a ton of data. I'm looking at guy literally like everything you can imagine, height, weight, what they had for lunch. Like, we're looking at everything there. And it's like the number came in even lower than I expected going into it. So, and then it's just the last piece is you always want to not even balance across position, but you also balance the timelines. And right now, Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald are not going to be expensive for multiple years. So, like, yeah, JFM might need new money soon. Obviously, you paid Quinn, and I get all that. You need to add more on the interior too. I get that. But, like, I just don't see a world where paying Bryce Huff, we look back down the road and say, even if he plays 400 snaps a year, where we're like, oh, that was a terrible investment. Like, no, like, what he does is extraordinarily valuable. And come times where you're playing, this is the funny thing too. What he does that's so valuable, you actually don't really see right now, because if you have leads and teams are passing against you way more in late in games, third and fourth quarter, they have to drop back to pass because the Jets are up because Aaron Rodgers is there. Bryce Huff will look more valuable and more impactful, as opposed to, you know, a second half of games, teams are just running the ball and bleeding clock against you. Like, it's limiting his scenarios where he is, like, making the most impact. So, yeah, they can, you know, they couldn't bring it back everybody. I get that. They're probably not going to make a ton of splashes in free agency. But stuff like that, in-house bringing guys back, is absolutely available if they want to do it.
So, while we're recording, Rodgers on McAfee, pretty much confirming what we all knew. If the Jets had won Sunday or taken care of any of these other games that they likely should have won, he'd be playing. He basically confirmed his season is over. I understand why. I want to give the guy credit for a second before we finish the offseason stuff. I know he's not going to play, and people are going to be like, oh, he's just saying he could play. We saw him practice. He could definitely play, and those leaks were – like, please win on Sunday. And that frustration Sunday from him was I'm sure part, you know, the way they were playing. I think it was a lot of like, dude, at 39 going on 40, I just returned from a torn Achilles in 13 weeks. And I'm not going to have a chance to be able to go, you know, play and compete for a playoff spot. It sucks. Like, I, again, I'm sure I'm a Rodgers homer and whatever. I've been like that, my, you know, since he got in the league, I've always been a Rodgers guy. Like, it sucks. That's the only way to say it. What do you think happens at receiver? There's a huge free agent class that most of these guys look like they may walk. I don't see a world in which T. Higgins is back. Mike Pittman's the interesting one. He kind of fits like perfectly with the Jets, and I love Mike Pitt, but like the Colts should keep him. Like, there's no reason they wouldn't keep him with a young quarterback. The Devontae Adams thing is real, and the Jets may be picking a spot where they could get a Marvin Harrison, a Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman. The list goes on. What's your gut feeling there? Do you think, like, they have more than enough, again, even if they sign Huff and whatever, like, they have more than enough to go get Devontae, right, or address in the draft? Like, it feels like they can kind of do whatever they I feel like they have a lot more flexibility than people are realizing they do.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. Again, when you're pushing all in like this, like you do all you have to do. Like, go be the Saints with the end of, not now, but the end of the Drew Brees era. Do what the Buccaneers did. Do what the Rams did. There's literally no reason not to. The Rams were the most expensive roster in football last year on a cash, $282 million in cash, more than any team this year, too. And then they're the cheapest roster in the NFL this year. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you just gut it and start over. But the whole point of trading for Aaron Rodgers is you try to go all in for this small window. And a lot of the money they're spending too, like, not even like the, you know, you look at the Rams or the Bucks, like those teams, they were like re-signing like older pillars of the roster. Like, whereas like paying Quinnen Williams isn't like relevant to the timeline of like going all in for Rodgers right now. Like, it's just, you were doing that regardless. So, yeah, no, they have flexibility. The things there's T. Higgins, I assume, will get tagged, but I could see a scenario where there is a tag and trade potential. You know, it's not really in Cincy's interest to do that, and they, I don't know, they probably won't. But this is the exact same agent that had Jesse Bates there. They tagged him one time, tagged him a second time. I think they'll raise hell this time and just be like, you know, just go so nuclear that maybe, you know, that they can force their way out. Mike Pitt's interesting. I think the Colts, the rookie quarterback, will probably just keep him around. But still, there's other depth options and whatnot. So I know you're a USC guy. It'd be great to have. But no, they'll be able to add some decent talent there. And why not? Yeah, why not trade for Devontae? Free that man.
Aaron Rodgers, I don't think next year will be my last year.
Ooh.
So, again, these two things do matter. If you're operating in a vacuum that Rodgers plays two more years, it lines up with, like, does that affect how you approach coach and GM? Does the coach and GM come in and say, wow, we have 2 years of Rodgers, I'm more interested in the job? Does that mean that it protects Salah and Douglas even more? Does it mean that it makes you go, okay, we're operating a two-year window. Devontae makes even way more sense now because Devontae's got 2 years of big money left on his deal, you know, and stuff like that. Does it matter how you restructure Rodgers again? Like, these things do matter a lot. And I'm, again, Rodgers has said it's not like that much breaking news. He did say 2 to 3 years. He signed a 3-year deal. It was 2 years of, you know, real money. Yeah. But this stuff matters. The other, I want to ask you quickly about a couple other guys in the roster. Bless you. That were, I don't know. You were on mute too. I didn't have to tell you that. JFM's a guy we've talked about before. I think it'd be a huge mistake to let JFM go. I think he is your only legit edge setting rusher on the outside. He can play multiple positions. He's actually legitimately good, unlike some of the other guys on the roster that are more memeable, you know, on that defensive line that carry baseball bats and get in fights. What do you do with JFM? He's one of the contracts that I think is actually really well done by Douglas. I'm going to give Douglas some credit here. 5 for 55 seemed, or I think it was at the time, you're like, oh, wow, it's like a lot of money for a guy that's got four, his career high in sacks in week four of the 2021 season. Like, you can move that money around. Like, what are, I guess, some other contracts and stuff? I was looking around. JFM's one, Lincoln's one. Mosley, you can clear a ton of money with. Are those like the moves that kind of make a ton of sense?
Yeah. So you mentioned a bunch there. JFM, you restructured again. You know, you had those void years for a reason. He has a big salary, $13.3 million next season, and he has 2 years left. I think you do broach the conversation of extension, but generally, you know, they wait till the last, going into the last year of the deal. But I mean, if he's down, I would certainly explore the possibility, especially because, you know, I think the remaining edge class, like, I like Josh Allen. I think he'll do well. Like, but you know, Brian Burns, the lead doesn't like as much as I think fans seem to like. And yeah, he's a good pass rusher, but he's basically a one-dimensional player. Like, you kind of go to the list of the rest of the edge rushers. Like, you know, Montez Sweat and Rashawn Gary already went. They didn't push the market forward really at all. They kind of went in line with where it was. And yeah, JFM has position flex. You can move him around. I think his game will age well too. Like, he's not an overwhelmingly freak athlete. I think he's strong for sure. But has like some good nuance to his game and good burst and things that I think, like you mentioned earlier with Huff, like, and it's not every player, they're all different, but defensive linemen can play in their mid thirties these days. Like, if they are savvy players and if they, you know, depending on how they're deployed. So yeah, those ones, of course, make sense. I mean, I can just pull it up here really quick, like, in terms of what the Jets probably need to do.
While you pull that up, I just want to read this other quote from Rodgers. Yeah, this year is a lost year for me. 2024 is not going to be my last with the Jets, and I have something to prove. I want to be here to starter in 20 at 40 and at 41. We don't have to rebuild. We have to retool. I believe in the leadership here. This is not a rebuilding situation. We're just reloading. That just basically all but confirms Douglas and Salah are going to be back, and it gives them a clear 2-year path to go, let's go win as many games as we can the next 2 years. That's huge. Like, I know you're looking up the stuff, and we'll finish up in a second, but like these things, I just said it before, but that's like, as much as a Jets fan, if you're panicking right now, maybe some people are still panicking or they don't want Rodgers here. I don't know. I saw some, but Aaron Rodgers can go. Okay, buddy. go. Okay. Go grab JJ McCarthy and have fun and suck for the next 5 years. But like, knowing you have a 2-year window as a GM, and you obviously know this better than anybody with the cap, like it just gives you so much more flexibility to know we can push things basically 2 years down the line with Huff's deal. If you're the Jets now, Bryce Huff, you're getting your cap hits $1.1 million next year, and we're going to prorate the shit out of your signing bonus. And in 3 years, you're going to have a $48 million cap hit that you're never going to see. I'm never going to see, because I'm probably going to be fired by then. That's the way it's going to operate. I feel like we're going to see a lot of that, if I'm not mistaken. You saw in Tampa,
yeah,
obviously.
No, there's no reason not to. There's no reason not to. And especially these guys in particular. Yeah, it's like either this works or they're out of a job. Like, there's no point in like dilly-dallying around it and like going half measures. Like, just do it. So Lakin pay cut, and then I'll run through it. I cut CJ Uzomah. I'm using the great overthecap.com, the calculator. You can do all these things and see exactly what it does. I restructure DJ Reed. I restructure JFM. Doesn't sound great to restructure Alan Lazard, but his salary is fully guaranteed already anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Again, like we're talking about, if you were a rebuilding team or whatever, yeah, you probably don't restructure Lazard. But anyway, and then that's it. And just that alone, I'm at $54 million in cap space. So the big thing, too, the last thing for me is the precedent set, and I know this year didn't go well, but Lawson pay cut, Jordan Whitehead pay cut, like going to all these players and guys in the roster seeing that, and you have Rodgers, of course, most importantly, taking a pay cut. If they go to Lazard and say, hey, can we turn your $10 million salary into six? And Rodgers is like, yeah, you should do that. Like, he's going to do it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, are you moving around? Or you turn it into incentives, whatever. Yeah, maybe he doesn't, but it's just those levers are at your disposal to pull. But yeah, right there alone, you have a decent amount of space. You have plenty more to push into the future. They added all these void years, like I said, for a reason. They could have restructured this year and not tacked on as many as they did. That wasn't an accident.
Yeah, we'll finish up with this again. A lot of stuff to come over the next, there's a lot of stuff to do, you know, in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk more about it. Appreciate everybody for listening. Make sure you guys are tuned into Brad's Top 100 Free Agent article. And we'll talk to you guys again on Friday. We'll preview a little bit of this sexy game of Commanders Jets. Appreciate everybody for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.